Parshas Tazir Metzora, the Dvamachos of Tavshin and Aleph, is a very important sicha. And the Rebbe begins and says that in many years the Torah portions of Tazir Metzora are read together on the same Shabbos. Parshas Tazria begins with the words, Tazria means to give seed, a woman who gives seed and gives birth to a male. According to Chassidus, this hints at the birth of the revelation of the soul of Mashiach. And giving seed refers to our deeds and efforts, our avoided in the time of Golos, immediately followed by the sprouting, which is the complete Geula. So Parshas Tazria is about Geula. Parshas Metzora refers to Mashiach. So sages say that Mashiach bears our sicknesses, like Metzora, sickness. And the name of Mashiach in the time of exile is Metzora, someone who is suffering from the spiritual skin ailment called Tzoras. In the opening words of this Parsha, Metzora, it says, "This is the Torah of the Metzora on the day of his purification." The day of its purification, the day that the blemish, the nega on his skin is healed, meaning when he is revealed and redeems the children of Israel in the true and complete Geula. So what's the best? What's the connection? Tazria is the birth, meaning the Geula. Metzora is someone who needs to be brought to purification. Seemingly, if the eternal Geula is born in Parshas Tazria, so it's not related in any way to the being a Metzora, being in a state of illness and exile. But the content of Parshas Tazria, which is about the birth, revelation of Mashiach, is all about different types of lesions of a Metzora, which is an aspect of Golos. And Parshas Metzora, which is the name, is Metzora, the illness, but actually teaches the laws of the purification of the Metzora, which, as we just heard, is the inyan of Geula. So what's going on? It should be the opposite. It turns out that actually this is very exact, of course, everything in Torah is exact, that the illness of Tzoras only becomes relevant at the very end of Golos. The verse that begins to describe the illness of Tzoras states, a man, it uses the word Adam. There are different words for man, here it uses the word Adam. An Adam who has on the skin of his flesh, etc., etc. And the Zohar states that Adam is a great level, the perfection of everything. So if so, if he's on such a high level, how could he have an illness, especially like Tzoras? The answer is, although he's rectified everything in his inner dimensions of his soul, nonetheless, on the skin of his flesh, the evil is still not refined, and there remains, quoting, waste material on the ends of his garments. But this is only an external matter which is not connected at all to the essence of the person, not even to his flesh, which changes through eating and drinking. It is only related to the skin which surrounds him externally. In truth, the nega, this lesion, this blemish, is only on the skin. That's why it's called nega, from the word noge, it's touching. It's not even the skin itself is really affected. It's just something that touches the skin. It's a completely superficial situation. It turns out that according to Pnimius HaTorah, these negoyim, these lesions, are actually a result of the lofty state of the Adam that we described above, of the person who's done what he needs to do to rectify himself. In fact, the negoyim themselves are not tamei themselves. Only when a kohen will look at them and will determine that they are in fact impure, and he says that they are impure, then they become tamei. This is because in their source they derive from very lofty spiritual lights, oides al yonim. And the word nega itself, take a nun, gimel, ayin, is a reversal of the letters which spell oinig, ayin, nun, gimel, which is supernal pleasure. As a rule, the loftiest things are those things which fall to the lowest levels of impurity. And the rectification of these negoyim is by revealing their true nature as lofty spiritual lights. And by revealing this, we nullify the external forces that nurture from them. The Rebbe continues, the subject of Tzoras and Negoyim is connected with the concept of the lights of Toihu, a level beyond being constrained in vessels. These lights, when you reveal these lights of Toihu, they bring about a yearning of the soul of Rotzoi, what's called Rotzoi in Chassidus, to escape limitation, abandon the responsibility of this world, spiritual, physical, whatever it is, and just go to Elikus. The lofty lights of Toihu do not want to return to the vessels of holiness, to be limited. They only want to seek to rise. They only seek to rise and to escape limitation. And this gives nurture to the klipas. The cure for this is bittul. Bittul is self-nullification to the point of completely nullifying one's will. And quoting, as Rebbe says, until the person is like a lifeless stone, like a servant before the king. I only do what Hashem wants, not what I want. It is specifically through our void of bittul that the powerful lights of Toihu can be drawn into the many vessels down below, which is Torah mitzvahs, which is how we create Hashem's dwelling place down below, Dirup Tachtoinim. This bittul is specifically accomplished through learning Torah. We see that the verse says, this is the Torah of the Metzora. It doesn't say this is the purification of the mitzvah or something similar, because the rectification of the mitzvah comes through involvement in Torah, which is in its aspect of bittul. Golus, exile, is darkness and concealment, and yet in its source, Golus is very lofty. From these very lofty levels, that's from there descend the concealment on all the undesirable things of Golus. And even after it descends, having reached the level of impure things, etc., it's only an external manifestation, like a nega, like of this blemish which is external even to the skin of the person. Rectification through our deeds and avoid is not a process of adding something new. Rather, we are simply revealing the truth of the Golus. In other words, we are not nullifying Golus. We are transforming Golus to Geula. As the Rebbe says in other places, Pasha Shmini, that this occurs by drawing down the Aleph and adding the Aleph to Geula, and then you get the word Geula. Geula is Geula, Golus, just you add the Aleph. Thus we understand that Geula is not a matter, it's not something that stands alone. Geula is a revelation of the true nature of Golus. Similarly, the Mitzvah that's used in reference to Mashiach. In a positive sense, the Mitzvah is sent out of the camp. What happens to a Mitzvah? He gets sent out of the camp. And he dwells alone, and so too Mashiach dwells alone. But why? Because he's so lofty, he's higher, the Rebbe quotes from the Midrash Tanchuma, higher than the Ava, he's higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rebbe notes that after the Gemara tells us that Mashiach's name is Mitzoyra, so then it brings how the Talmidim of Rabbi Shiloi and Rabbi Yanai and other of the Chachamim, each of the students of each of these sages found verses indicating that the name of their own teacher was the name of Mashiach. And the Rebbe adds that, and I'm quoting, we Chassidim follow in their way as regards Rabbi Sinner Nesienu, and particularly my father-in-law, the Rebbe, the Nasi of our generation, Yosef Yitzchak is his name. Yosef Yitzchak Shmoy, meaning the name of Mashiach, we're going to give him the name of the Friedrich Rebbe. Why? Because that's what Chassidim do. We follow these sages and their students who found hints for the name of Mashiach being the name of their own Rebbe. The Rebbe then quotes from the Alter Rebbe's Likutei Torah. Adam reflects the perfection of everything, one whose actions are proper and he has rectified all matters that pertain to him. Only the waste on the ends of his garments isn't refined due to the state of Golus. The Rebbe then adds that in our generation, the last generation of Golus, which has already finished and completed the matters of Avodah that need to be done in the time of Golus, we can say, quoting the Rebbe, we can say that all of the Jewish people are on this level. The Rebbe says all Jewish people are on the level of Adam, who has completed everything. The Rebbe then provides the direct path for someone who's finished all the avodah to bring about the revelation and coming of the Mashiach. What's the direct path? Learning Torah, which can unify opposing directions and negate the inyan of Golus. Negating Golus is itself Geula. And the Rebbe's words. Torah is the direct path to the revelation, the coming of the Mashiach, as it combines both bittul and unquestioning obedience with internalized understanding. You have both of these dimensions. And then the Rebbe specifies what should the learning be focused on. It should be focused on the subjects of Mashiach and Geula. And then the Rebbe says, where are you going to find these subjects of Mashiach and Geula? You find it in the Nevi'im, and in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, and in Tzaita, and in Midrashim, and especially in Pnimis HaTorah, Chassidus, beginning with the Zohar, and after that, particularly Chassidus, and particularly the Torah, according to the Rebbe, the Torah, the Maimarim and Likutei Sichas of the leader of our generation, Nasi Ador. And every Chassid knows that only the Rebbe himself has a series called Likutei Sichas, and from this we find that the Rebbe quietly and indirectly is referring to himself as the Nasi Ador, whom the Rebbe identifies as the Mashiach of a generation, and the direct way is by learning. We're learning this Torah, and that's how we bring about that the Golus, we reveal the inner dimension of Golus, and that's the Geula.